And welcome to this edition of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I have to tell you that one of my dreams is always to have folks on the program who are sharing new and exciting ways of living, loving, and learning towards success and bringing about just a whole new energy, if you will. And the fact of the matter is that you don't have to stay in the pessimism and the anxiety and all of those things. And I will tell you that one of the ways you can stay out of those things is by discontinuing listening to or watching the types of television programs in particular that foster that. And I can't argue with the Emmy-winning programs, but what I can say is that it's the content of those programs that continues to foster the fear and the anxiety and the unrest that we feel. So I'll go and I'll watch a baseball game because I love the game. Or, folks, yes, I will go and watch the cartoons rather than watching, you know, some of the detective and police dramas, because it's just repeating what's in the news. And, you know, we get the news every hour and of every day, and the stories are the same. The names and the dates and the places have changed, but it's still man's inhumanity to man. So rather than filling my head with a lot of that other stuff, I'll watch the cartoons because I like them. I can't help it. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And the archives of this program are available following the program at richarddugan.com. And it's at the radio show's link, easy enough to find. And you can see all of the guests that we've had and all of the interviews that we've done since September 8th, 2007. And there are some other interviews on the website as well. You can click around and find those. And we have on the program today somebody who I am familiar with by name especially. I never had a chance to interview her 20 and 30 years ago, but I am certainly happy to have Terry Cole Whitaker on the program. And actually, you are a minister, am I not mistaken?
Yes, Richard, and also an Essene bishop.
Oh, we'll get into that too. That's exciting. You and I kind of came through sort of the same era of the 80s and 90s. I worked for a religious broadcasting station, but you were a minister, and you were ostensibly, you were quote unquote preaching the gospel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But your message
was really good news,
right? But yours. But the funny thing was, your message was a little different in that, as you just stated, it was the really good news. It was a positive message, an uplifting message. It wasn't, you know, we're lowly worms and Jesus died on the cross to save us miserable sinners. I always found that contradictory because I thought, well, if God created me, then I must have some value.
Exactly.
Some great value for him to do with his son, as the Bible speaks of, what he did. So how could I think so lowly of myself? But that was sort of the message. And you taught a little different message from those Gospels. Tell me how you began your ministry, your search, and how you find yourself in the transition to where you are today with your new book, which I believe is called Living Your Bliss.
Live Your Bliss.
Live it. Live Your Bliss.
Yeah,
tell us about your
bliss of the universe. Our job is to be blissful. And that's what really I believe Jesus came to teach, is also the great other great teachers that came for us and emissaries from the spiritual world, is that we are bliss. And I lived in India for about 4 years, a few years ago, and studied with some of the great masters. And there's a Sanskrit statement that explains the nature of the soul, that we are. We're souls. And it's called Sat Chit Ananda. And it means we're made of eternity, consciousness, and bliss.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure most people aren't doing their job, because otherwise the whole planet would be in bliss.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they're suffering. So that suffering is what got me really into the ministry many, many years ago, because I was unhappy in a marriage, and really the two of us were just ignorant and had no idea of, you know, really how life works, each of us expecting the other person to make them happy and both blaming the other person for their own misery, self-generated. So, but it got me to church. And I was studying metaphysics, the metaphysical teachings of Jesus and of their great teachers of our time, I mean of ancient times. And so we were open to all the teachings of the great religions and not just one, because we found that they were all similar. And as I went there, I was learning the principles that you could call positive thinking, how important our thoughts are and how our thoughts create our reality, and that how, you know, that we're supposed to be happy and prosperous and healthy. That's how God created it, and how to do that. And so I started practicing all those wonderful things. I started when I was, before that, I started when I was 17, but then I didn't really start going to church a lot until in my 20s when I was frustrated in the marriage. And I think that, don't you think that's a right use of pain, is that we go find out how to not be in pain?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really that purpose of spiritual teaching, because otherwise you're going and getting medication.
Yeah.
You know, that's what people are doing. They're doing tranquilizers. They're doing these heavy duty pharmaceutical drugs and everything, but it's their thoughts, it's their mind mm-hmm. that is the greatest terrorist weapon that's ever been invented person's own mind.
Interesting perspective.
Isn't it?
I could agree with that. We're talking with Terry Cole Whitaker, and we're going to be talking with her and talking about her new book, Live Your Bliss, here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we encourage you to stay tuned. This is Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Tell Me Your Story continues.
You can't go on holding back a flooding river. Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do.
Paradigms for a New World. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. My guest is Terry Cole Whitaker. Her book is Live Your Bliss. And if we are doing that, then not only is our life transformed and we're doing some things that maybe we never thought we could do before that are exciting and energizing, but it's also having an effect on the people around us. One of the things that I tell people, Terry, is that when you listen to this radio program, mm-hmm. whether you agree with what the guest has to say or not, mm-hmm. you've already heard it.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't unhear it.
Thoughts are seeds.
And so mm-hmm. once that seed has been planted, it's like now or later you will have to deal with what was shared. And this is not meant in any way, shape, or form as a means of saying, we gotcha. But it's saying, look, we're just putting this forth, and we just ask you to take a look at it.
Well, because it's for their benefit. And this is, we're all basically pleasure seekers, because our nature is bliss, and everybody's seeking happiness. And it's that, but what happened, remember that song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But because it's so true that the more we seek happiness on the outside, the more miserable we become. I know I have one of my granddaughters, she's in her 20s, and she's starting to torture herself in her mind, you know, that she doesn't have the boyfriend, she's having difficulty with other people, they're criticizing her, and it's really in her own mind mm-hmm. that she's making herself miserable. And if people don't understand that, what happens is they make their choices from their state of mind, and every action's going to have a reaction. So whatever we give out, we're going to get back. And because we are already happiness, bliss is our nature. When we're trying to get happy through something, it's basically a negative, because we're affirming now we don't have what we already have. So you can't get what you've already got from somewhere other than yourself to allow yourself to be who you really are. And who we really are, and I thought it was interesting before we were talking about how, you know, thinking that there was something wrong with us and bad. And this is, we're seeking happiness because we want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is people are feeling bad. And where our bad feelings come from thinking there's something wrong with us. And then we think there's something wrong with others. And we're always looking to find out what's wrong with them and then what's wrong with me. And the truth is there's nothing wrong with anybody. But what is the problem is our thinking and our understanding of who we really are, what is our real divine spiritual nature,
mm-hmm.
and how does life work. And so life in the material world works a certain way.
You know, it's interesting. I had a friend who would come to me on a regular basis about conflicts that they were having on the job. And they would constantly be asking me, well, what's wrong with me? Why don't people like me? Why can't I make friends? Why? What's wrong with me? And I kept saying, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. It's them. They don't get you. They don't understand you. But that's them.
Right.
You are who you are for whatever reasons. And you're doing everything you know to do to, you know, to connect with people. And just because they aren't connecting with you doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you.
No. And so, well, see, envy is the disease of humankind.
Mm-hmm.
And I, see, I'm a prosperity teacher. And envy is a poverty consciousness. It's a thought of poverty. It means I don't have enough. So I'm envious of other people who have what I want,
mm-hmm.
because they, if they have it, it means they're happier than I am. They're better than I am. So we go, we do this mind trip on ourselves all the time. And the thing is, this is what really self-acceptance is about. And I don't call it self-love. And the only reason why is because love is an activity between two. You, there's the outflow and the inflow. There's the giver and the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say to love yourself, it means that there's one God, and that God is the soul of every soul. So when your real self is God, is a higher power, is a higher presence. So you and I, Richard, and everybody out there, we have the same source, the
mm-hmm.
same creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yet what I call, instead of self-love, is self-honoring. And that's to know who we are and to live the life that we want to live. So there's... As long as people are criticizing themselves all the time and they're criticizing others, they're always in this envy and this negative mindset that makes them make decisions that do not bring them the happiness, the love, and prosperity that they desire, but actually bring them the very thing they fear.
I know that in, for example, the book and the movie The Secret,
mm-hmm.
it talks about that concept that... when you, it doesn't matter whether you say, I want or I don't want, that which you want or don't want is what's going to manifest.
Right.
I don't want debt. Guess what?
You get debt.
You get debt. I don't want wealth. Well, you'd actually want
No, but you would get wealth. What
yeah.
it means, well, yeah, that because then you would
But you
get
see
it.
The, yeah, but that's the principle.
But yeah, well, the principle is the word itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you focus on what you don't want, it has to do with focus.
Yeah.
And so certainly if you focus on succeeding in your job, you know, being good to your clients and your customers, you're focusing on the positive. You're not going to get the negative.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're focusing on what you don't want, you're focusing on your bills. You see, don't focus on the money that you owe.
Yeah.
Focus on doing the work that you yeah. love.
The joy that you find in that work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And love your work. Love your clients, your customers. Do the thing that's natural for you. And I speak of that in Live Your Bliss. I have a whole chapter on how to do, you know, how to have pleasure in your work.
Mm-hmm.
And I show that in every aspect of our lives, we can have bliss and pleasure when we understand how we function naturally.
You know, there was an interview I heard just recently. The host of a Discovery Channel program called Dirty Jobs.
Uh-huh.
And he would go around and do some of the most vile, disgusting, or at least from my perspective, jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he has, and this is his phrase, not mine, he has handled feces from every species that kind of stuff. Well, what he found was so fascinating. The majority of the people that he went to do these jobs with loved the job they were doing, found some joy in it, some excitement, some reason to get up in the morning and do it again. And yet they didn't see it as this awful, dirty job.
No.
And so here we are in the workaday world, white collar, blue collar. You know, we're not in the quote unquote dirty jobs. And yet there are many of us that don't like what we're doing.
No.
And then the comment would come up, well, yeah, but you don't want to quit the job you've got because, well, look at the unemployment rate and the economy and on and on and on. And they start laying this scenario out. So now they feel like they're stuck.
They are stuck because they've got to get out. And what happens is we've been programmed generation to generation, generation, generation on back through families, through religion, through the culture, through the government to basically be cogs in a wheel. And so what happens is we think that we have freedom, and what we're doing is we're using our freedom to keep ourselves in prison, to keep ourselves trapped, and we're trapped by thoughts. There's a thought war going on there. It's the control of people's minds, because when you can control somebody's mind and actually tell them what to think, then what happens is you control their actions. And you control their values and their ideals. You have them enslaved. And then they use, like they do programming, that means reward and punishment. And the punishment is humiliation. The punishment is, it's like if you think of all the books in the school systems. Who wrote those books? How do we know that information is correct? Most of it is not. And it's like it's all like systematically set up to dumb us down. And to keep us ignorant of who we really are, because the power of our mind is almost unlimited, and that we have enormous power. And what we're doing is by our limited thoughts shutting down our power. And there we are doing jobs we don't like. We're living our lives like driving on the freeway, going somewhere, and having no idea. That's not what really life is about.
I noticed that people are beginning to understand that, and they're beginning to make changes in their lives, not just changing jobs,
no,
but changing lifestyles.
Exactly. They're waking up to who they really are.
Yeah.
And we've been so conned, and we've been, and this is the thing you were talking about before on when you were in the beginning of the program, about how watching these news programs and watching all of these other programs, think about see, the television was created as a programming machine. That's what it was created for, to program the public to buy certain products, to bank, to get loans, to trust the banking, to do the this, to do the that, so that we fit into that corporate world, and instead of being free to live the way we want, we're programmed constantly. And what happens is people sit in their lazy boy chair in the alpha state, which is the programmable, relaxing state, and they're programmed. And they're also programmed subliminally. They told us that that was against the law, but they've been always doing it. Because then all of this is, because when they found out, when you learn how to control the mind, then then people who are the mind controllers have control of our lives, our thinking, our feeling. And so what happens with all of this fear that's being generated right now is to keep us in a state of terror. So that what we do is we run around like a chicken with its head cut off, or Chicken Little. The sky's falling, the sky's falling. And so we run and grabbing for straws, you know, to think, how can I save myself? Well, first of all, you can't die. You're a spiritual being. You'll lose your body, and everybody's going to lose that body because this is what we do.
Right.
But you don't lose yourself.
Right.
And the whole key is not to believe the fear mongers of the world, because this is what my book, Live Your Bliss, is about. How we transform our lives, how we live the life we came here to live, and to be happy and prosperous and healthy and loving and have loving relationships and have meaningful jobs and work that we love, that suits our nature, and live a beautiful life, you know, with clean water and trees and flowers and kind animals, who we really are, is what we have to do, is start to understand who we are and then train ourselves to always keep our mind in the spiritual zone, the bliss zone. Because our state of mind, our emotions, have a certain vibrational frequency. And the vibrational frequency of fear attracts all the things we fear that are at that level. But if we're not at that level, it can't come into our lives. And this is so important, and that's why I wrote this book, Live Your Bliss, because people are miserable, and they think, you know, they're feeling good because sometimes they're feeling no pain, but they're in anxiety and terror all the time about what's going to happen to them in the future.
Yeah, instead of enjoying where they are in the present.
Exactly, and if you're happy in the present, your future is going to be happy because you don't even have a future.
Right.
It's the present.
Right, exactly. Terry Cole Whitaker is my guest. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we'd love for you to check out the information that is available at her website, which is terrycolewhitaker.com. And we encourage you to check out the book, Live Your Bliss, available through the website as well as at Amazon.com and other bookstores wherever you may live. And we encourage you also to listen to this program again. It's archived at RichardDugan.com on the radio show's page. Just go there, find Terry Cole Whitaker's name. It links to her website, and then there's the play button to play the interview so that you can listen to it again, share it with family and friends. Again, we are not sitting here promoting any one particular guest and book or CD or principle or idea or a paradigm. We're promoting them all. And you might say, well, that's contradictory because one guy may say one thing and one gal may say another. I say, well, that's up to you to decide.
Exactly.
The point is we're trying to give you these different ideas to choose from in a centralized location of sorts, so that you can then make up your own mind, use what you feel, what resonates with you, what works for you, and then move forward. You don't have to take everything that Terry or I say, if I may use the phrase, as gospel. But we just ask you to consider the possibility. Reject it if you want. It's okay. It's not going to hurt me. As a matter of fact, I look at it from the standpoint this way, Terry. These new ideas, these concepts, these paradigms are like a freshly made chocolate cake sitting on the counter in the kitchen. And I walk into the kitchen, I smell that beautiful chocolate smell, and I look at the cake, and I just got back from a big lunch, and, you know, it sure smells good, but, you know, I'm really not interested in chocolate cake right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I go off into another room and do another thing. Maybe later I'll come back into the kitchen. It's cooled down a little bit, so what? You know, it looks pretty good, but I'm still kind of full, so no, and I go off and I do something else. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the cake. It just means I'm not interested. And that actually applies, too, to something you said before, and that is that, you know, we're people pleasers, we're approval seekers, and that we need to view ourselves as that chocolate cake, that when somebody doesn't want to be friends with us, then somebody doesn't care for what we're doing or
right.
who we are or what our beliefs are. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with us. It just means that that's their perspective.
Yeah, it's their choice.
Yeah.
Just like it's our choice who we want to be with and who we don't want to be with. See, I remember years ago I thought my goal was I wanted to love everybody unconditionally. And the day I left the church that day when the minister was talking about that, I thought, wow, I'm going to love everybody unconditionally. And I realized how many people I couldn't tolerate. But it was a beginning.
Yeah.
And so once we, like you said, you know, you set your sights on something, doesn't mean you're there yet. But all is possible. And this is what we have to understand. The future is fluid.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people that I think has done such a disservice to humanity is Nostradamus. And what it is he prophesied everything awful, nothing ever good. So that's suspect. That means that also he, being an astrologer and an astronomer, basically an astronomer and astrologer, understood the cycles that go on in the universe, because that's been known from Sumeria and Babylon, the Egyptians, the Mayans, they all, you know, would look to the stars to be able to figure out when to plant the crops and when this was happening, and they could see certain things happening on a cyclical basis. So he basically prophesies all these horrible things happening at times when there was the tendency for a tremendous amount of change or power to happen. And then I believe that the elitists that were in power at the time and have been in power have taken advantage of those times to actually do acts that were detrimental and destructive to human beings and the planet, and then saying, "Say there, he could prophesize that." And so it's there when everybody's looking for prophecy, what's going to happen in the future? Well, if you look about what's going to happen in the future of your life, it's fluid. It's whatever you want it to be. But you've got to have the emotions of that. See, we're emotional beings. Souls are emotional, feeling beings. You cannot trust your mind. Your mind is a computer. It's a machine. And it has all of your memories, all of your past lives. Everything is in this memory bank called the subtle mind. And yet, that's all it is a computer. And remember, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in your mind, what are your thoughts going to be? They're going to be garbage thoughts. You have to get your thoughts from outside your mind. You have to get the understanding outside of that, which is from the spiritual domain. And so this is so important that people are trusting their thoughts. They believe their minds. Like you get some, you know, poor soul that says, "I went and killed somebody because God in my mind told me to do that." Well, but that wasn't in your heart. That is in your mind, and somebody could be programming your mind with those thoughts, because it's like there are people that know how to do that. And if your mind is weak, that means you're weak. You'll believe your mind, and when your mind says you're tired, then you say, "Well, I guess I'm tired." You know, if your mind says, "I hate that person," then you're full of hate. And what happens is the hate makes you sick.
Mm-hmm.
Because your emotions affect you. Your thoughts affect you. Other people's thoughts and emotions don't have to affect us. It's only if we agree and we decide to take on that same vibrational frequency. Then that's going to happen to us. And that's what I want people to know, is you can't trust your thoughts. Your thoughts cheat you, they lie to you, and they torture you. So you have to begin to know the difference between truth and false.
Yeah.
And if we don't know the difference between what's really true and what's really false, we'll believe that what's false is true. And then when someone like you or me, Richard, you know, tell people how great life could be and it's wonderful, you think, well, you're completely crazy. Because they've been so programmed to believe that positive thinking's a lie. They've been so programmed to believe that it's not possible. You can't prosper. You can't be happy. You can't have what you want. So then guess what? They don't.
Mm-hmm. I have to say that I spent a lot of my life, in my 20s and 30s in particular, spent a lot of time worrying about stuff. Now, most of the time, I'm a pretty optimistic, outgoing, happy individual. And I would have to say that in the last 10 to 12 years, that's been the predominant state. I've worried much less. And I have found that, again, with whatever it is that I surround myself with, matter of fact, I find that because of the way that I am these days, that I don't even like being around people who are negative and they never have a good thing to say about anybody or anything.
No, critical, judgmental.
Yeah. I mean, I for example, I happen to be watching, now at the time of our recording this program, I happen to be watching one of the games in the baseball playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really good game. And it was one of these games where one team, if they lose, they're done, and the other team goes on to the World Series. And I'm watching this game, and it comes down to the ninth inning. It comes down to this critical crunch time moment. And one of the commentators made a wonderful statement. I just thought it was beautiful. Now, I had no dog in this hunt. It didn't matter to me. I just loved watching the game. But he said, you know, In this situation, with all the tension that was going on, he says, this is why people love baseball. This is what makes it great. And I could not agree with him more, because if you didn't have a team that you were rooting for, but you were just watching the beautiful play of this sport between the chalk lines and the diamond,
mm-hmm.
it was wonderful to watch these two teams competing, and it was a wonderful outcome. The team that was going to be on its way out actually won the game, so there would be another game after that. So that was kind of cool that this was going to be extended, and we got to go through that little drama again, but there was nothing really at stake. It was a game.
Just a game.
It's just a game.
But
it was,
you know,
so exciting.
That's really the way it is in the universe.
Yeah.
But it's God's play.
Yeah.
And we're playing roles. And yet at the same time, there's a lot at stake, because it's how we live our eternal life. How do you feel?
Yeah.
What are you made of? And it's like, the more we elevate ourselves into these higher realms of bliss, there's all kinds of revelations and realizations that we get. And it's like you said, you don't like being around negative people and people like this, and what it happens is, see, that game, there was an objective, there was a sport, and
mm-hmm.
people really know it's a sport, so
yeah.
it's good, healthy, clean fun. But here in the world, you've got people warring with each other,
yeah.
as if those people aren't real people over there, so we can shoot you up and blow your arms and legs off so that we can have a safe home over here. But those are our family members.
Yeah, they are.
And we understand this. We are children of God. These are our friends. These are our family members. And there's an abundance for everybody. There are these two characters that have done so much damage to the consciousness of the people of the world, but it's been exploited. One is Malthus. And he was, you know, many, many years ago, he had the theory of scarce supply. And so that justifies then that so many people that have to reduce population, that there's not enough for everybody. But there's always, population always works naturally when we live in harmony and balance with the laws of nature. Then the other guy who ruined everything was Darwin, and his was survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
So here you've got the meanest, toughest, nastiest people then must be at the top because they're the fittest. But they're not really the fittest. They're the most insane because they're cruel.
Yeah.
And that's not our nature.
I have to throw a bit of humor into this. There's a website. There's a website regarding Darwin called the Darwin Awards. And I laugh because the only way that you can win a Darwin Award is posthumously. Okay, so what does that tell you about the Darwin Awards? Is that one you want to win?
No.
Oh man! By the way, I find it fascinating that you've been doing the work that you've been doing for my Lord. If I may say, you're shy of 40 years. I'll tell you that right now. But nonetheless, I'm curious. Have you had an opportunity to reflect back on those days in the 70s in particular and sort of look and see how your message and how your paradigms or beliefs have changed since then?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
What's so important for me is how before. Because if I go back and I watch my old TV shows, because I had an international television ministry, I was on in 400 markets,
mm-hmm.
no cable, there was no internet, obviously, at the time, but it was all broadcast and shows, and we had to pay for the time. And also wrote, you know, many books. My first book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business.
Yeah, I like that title.
It's still selling big. That's after 30 years. And so, but when I go back and I look at and I see these old shows that I was on, but I remember how unhappy I was, in the sense of I was doing my work, but there was always something missing. I was up and down on an emotional roller coaster all the time, a lot of it had to do with whether my husband or my boyfriend liked me, or I was afraid, I was jealous they were going to find somebody else, so I was afraid I was going to lose them. I was concerned about what other people thought and what they said about me. I was always concerned about money, if I had enough money or not enough money. So I was always, always in anxiety. I always had the worm of anxiety in my stomach. And so when I left that ministry and that television, it was to go on a vision quest because I knew something was missing. Because we all, you know, we are pleasure seekers. That means we want to be happy because happiness is our nature. And so I went on that for many years. I lived in the woods of the Pacific Northwest for a long time. I was Earth Mother, had an organic farm. I lived in India for 4 years, and I traveled all the holy places in the world and meditated and all that. And then it was all given to me. And what the big major difference is that I found everything that I was seeking, and that I have no anxiety. I have no fears, no worries. I'm in bliss all the time. And I live exactly the way I want. I do what I want to do. Everything I need comes to me effortlessly and joyfully. Hmm. That's the difference.
Yeah. And it can be that way. It
for just, everybody.
It takes. It does take some effort.
You got to work at it. Yeah. You got to invest. It's like, you know, so I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in my consciousness. I know how to succeed in business because I learned how. Mm-hmm. I work those principles. You know, you learn how to do these things that you want to do. I became an opera singer after I was 50 years old.
Yeah, I was actually looking through some of those things. I'm going, wait a minute, is this the same Terry Cole Whitaker that I'm interviewing?
I was third runner-up in Mrs. America.
I saw that, too. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of one of these people, if I say, gee, I'd like to do that, I go do it.
Yeah.
And anybody can do that, but you know what? Most people think, well, I can't do that. Well, then you can't.
Yeah.
Because they stop themselves. They don't know how powerful they are, and I just love people, and I want everybody to be happy and prosperous and healthy. Some people, they don't even know how to be healthy. I had a stroke 23 years ago, so I decided to find out how my body functions.
Hmm.
Perfect good health.
Yeah. Terry Cole Whitaker is my guest, and this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're talking about not only her book, Live Your Bliss, but certainly other books that she has written and the things that she's done in her life and how she has not only changed her life but changed the lives of others. Again, I like the title, What You Think of Me is None of My Business. Another one is How to Have, pardon me, How to Have More in a Have-Not World. Inner Path from the Goddess Within. Inner Path from the Goddess Within. Dare to Be Great. Create Your Destiny. A Remarkable Guide to Making Decisions That Give Your Give You Happiness and Prosperity. That's a long title for you.
I know. This Live Your Bliss is my shortest title.
I like that. Here's also. And I'm not sure, in 1993, it looks like, you wrote a book called, co-wrote a book called The Legend of Barby the Knight.
No.
No?
That's not me.
That's not you. Somebody put that in there and it shouldn't be there.
You're Love kidding. And power, I love, never heard of such a thing.
I haven't either. Love and Power in a World Without Limits.
Limits. That's the one, The Woman's Guide to the Goddess.
There you go. And The Inner Path from Where You Are to Where You Want
Actually,
to Be.
Actually, that book, even though... I'm the author.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God?
Yes.
Well, Neil was on my staff. He was one of my employees, and he was a wonderful writer. So I was living in Hawaii at the time, kind of on a really, kind of, I had been burned out, you know, when you get, you know, burnt
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I was in Hawaii, I couldn't concentrate on working. It was too much fun to, you know, go swim.
Yeah.
And so I brought Neil over to Hawaii, and I talked the book to him on tape recorder, and then he went and put it together. So it was like he helped me at that time because I already had an advance, and I just could not get myself motivated to write that book. So So Neil Donald Walsh, a lot of people love his writing. So
yeah.
He's a
dear soul. There are so many incredible books out there that touch mm-hmm. people from different perspectives. And we were sort of chatting before we got started about some of the older books, specifically of the Bible. I kind of wanted to talk before we run out of time about how you, and I mean, you shared a little bit about, of course, how your beliefs have changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, I remember hearing your name and so forth back in the 80s and early 90s when I was working for a Christian radio station. And, of course, they weren't always very complimentary.
No.
And I thought how ironic that in today's age, the ministers and pastors of today are now basically speaking the very things that you were criticized back in the 80s and 90s for.
I know. It's interesting, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, they are. I remember I went to see, there was this one minister and his wife, they were both ministers in New Orleans, and they invited me to their church and everything, and they were very fundamental, and she showed me my book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business, how she dissected the whole book, copied it, and just made a few changes and put her name on it and made a new title. And I was just, my jaw was on the ground, but I thought, well, I guess... help people, then that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting. See, the old programming, which all the organized religions using fear, hell, torture, burning forever, and telling people that God's an angry, vengeful, how could God be jealous when there's only one God? Who's God going to be jealous of?
Yeah.
That just not doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But a lot of that's just the ancient Church of Babylon. And I love studying, you know, all different kinds of history and science, and finding that really how powerful we really are as human beings, and that we are great souls. Every person is a genius, and it's just, you know, when I see what happens, there was this program on TV I saw that talked how children at 18 months can read. Well, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the people think they treat them like they're dumb and they don't know what's going on. And in those early months and such, and early years, their brains are growing and they're hungry for knowledge and information, and they love it. So it's like we're wonderful. Life is good, and bliss is our nature. And why the world is in the negative condition it's in is because people have sad thoughts and they're miserable.
I'm curious, with all of the work that you've done in the human potential movement and the positive thought area and new thought churches and that movement, what is in your process of living your bliss? What would you say is one of the craziest things you've ever done?
Richard, I can't. Oh, my goodness. The craziest things? Well, I'll tell you a few things. Well, one of the it comes to my mind was I took a helicopter ride on the big island of Hawaii, and it went up and hung right over the cauldron, looking right down into the hot, blazing lava. And I never thought that helicopter could have stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, was completely insane.
But that was part of living your bliss.
Yes, it was.
Of enjoying your life way that you chose to.
Yeah, and then skiing, like going skiing and skiing from the top of the mountain to the bottom, and it was like crying halfway down and falling and all this, but getting up and doing it again. I thought, not now.
Well, and of course, those are the kinds of memories you have now, knowing that you've done those things in your life. Whether you can do them today or not is not as relevant as much as, hey, I don't have to sit back and go, what if?
Right.
I went out and I took a shot.
Oh, I've done everything, Richard, I ever wanted to do. And that is what's so wonderful, and I feel so blessed because praying is so important for us, that we really connect with our inner self, and answers are there, and that special time, and it's a tremendous power is coming through the universe now
mm-hmm.
for us, and we're making a major shift, and that's why it's very important for us to have the knowledge I have in this book, Live Your Bliss, because it's knowledge on every area, how to prosper and live blissfully by doing what you love, how to have pleasure-producing relationships, understanding how reincarnation works, to realize you're already powerful, to expand beyond your limits, entrance into the realms of divine pleasure. So this earth is a training ground. It's a jumping-off place, and this is also a beautiful, beautiful garden, and we really do have everything that we could possibly need. The problem is we've been in the hands of negative, angry, fearful leaders at some level of all different across the board that have convinced us of how stupid and powerless we are, that we can't even make our own decisions how to run our own lives.
This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. We have more coming with Terry Cole Whitaker here on Tell Me Your Story.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, oh, the country's in bones. All the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
Dugan, your host for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigm for a New World, New Paradigms, plural. You can have more than one, believe it or not, as we talk with Terry Cole Whitaker in our last few moments on the program. And Terry, of course, we've been talking about your latest book, which is Live Your Bliss, mm-hmm. and it's available through your website, terrycolewhitaker.com. I'm sure it's available through Amazon and local bookstores wherever you might live. One of the questions that I like to ask my guests before we wrap up the program, has to do with the here and the now, this mm-hmm. moment, as we've talked about the past, the present, and the future in terms of pain and suffering versus joy and, again, bliss. Part of me says that, you know, you could be doing a lot of other things. You could have gone a whole different direction instead of getting that Doctorate of Divinity in 1973 and mm-hmm. and maybe you won the Miss America and you were an opera singer. You could have gone in that direction as well, but you didn't.
Right.
Why this? Why now?
Well, because all of those were nice, and I think if you can use it to make a difference in people's lives. And I just feel I love spiritual work. I love knowledge, sacred knowledge. I love to study, and I love to really help people who really want to have a magnificent life. And I feel this is the most satisfying, wonderful life that I could possibly have. And I can do all those other things. That's fun. But now I want to help other people to do all the things that they've always wanted to do and live the life they've always wanted to live.
One more question for you. Who inspires you?
Well, I'll tell you. I read books from knowledge, from ancient teachings that are very hard to get a hold of, to get English translations. And they're of amazing people that we don't even know in the West. And I'm inspired every day because my house is full of those books. And I read them, and I'm transported into another realm and another dimension. And my friends are people who live this way as well. And they inspire me, and my daughters.
Hmm.
And people like you, Richard.
Well, thank you.
That are doing what you're doing and helping so many people. It's such a pleasure to be on your program. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for sharing your time and your story and your book, which is Live Your Bliss. Again, available at most bookstores, Amazon.com, or at terrycolewhitaker.com. We have a link at richarddugan.com to your website, and people can get there. Following this program, the interview will be available online. Just go to the radio show's page, and she'll be at the top of the list for the rest of the week until our next broadcast on Saturdays, 3 p.m. It's Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. It's a wonderful pleasure once again to have you on our program. We hope that when you are in the Santa Barbara area, and you're not that far away in San Diego, that you'll stop in and say hello, and maybe we'll do an in-studio interview as well.
Wouldn't that be fun, Richard?
I'd love it. So,
all right, my
next
darling.
Time you're in town.
God bless you. I know you're doing wonderfully.
Well, thank you.
And helping so many people.
And that's going to wrap our program for today. Once again, this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. Love to Lal. Until next week.